Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about mountain snowpack, why the Public Service Commission rejected a proposed climate change forum, and updates on coronavirus. It's Wednesday, April 8th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana is edging closer to the spring runoff season. Scientists now have a better idea of what our mountain snowpack will yield this spring and summer. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Call it the Goldilocks principle. Federal scientists say there's not too much snowpack in Montana's mountains to threaten a flood risk later this spring, nor is there too little, which could eventually lead to reduced summer streamflows. In a sense, it's just right.
It's not the most exciting story. I mean, to have like a near average snowpack and near average streamflows, but given the fact that we've had a couple of big years, I think another average year would be great.
That's Lucas Zukowicz, a water supply specialist with the U.S. Agriculture Department's Natural Resources Conservation Service in Bozeman. Zukowicz says March, like November and December, was another dry month.
We had valley precipitation totals in some of our towns west of the divide, which were less than 30% of average for the month.
But that's balanced out by January and February's abundant snowfall, combined with last month's below average temperatures.
Because we got so much snow, we still have a snowpack for April 1st, which is near to above normal across the state. There's really only one small area west of Flathead Lake that has a below normal snowpack. So we were able to kind of insulate ourselves against this dry month of March.
He says some basins east of the divide had normal precip last month. The headwaters of the Yellowstone and Gallatin River basins had above normal snowfall. Statewide stream flow forecasts are currently near to slightly above normal through July 31st, but stay tuned. Springtime precipitation will ultimately determine that. The Federal Climate Prediction Center's long-range forecast suggests Montana may see cooler than normal temperatures this month. There's an equal to above normal chance for above average precipitation. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
The commission that regulates energy in Montana shot down a proposal yesterday to sponsor a forum that would have discussed climate change as a man-made phenomenon. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Roger Kootman, who represents Southwest Montana for the Public Service Commission, wrote and introduced the proposal for the PSC to host a two-day forum to examine CO2 caused climate change. Kootman described himself and the commission as tending toward climate change skepticism and wrote in his proposal that the forum would help inform commissioners as they consider potential carbon tax and avoided cost proposals.
And I believe it benefits the commission to listen not to political spokesmen, which always have a lot to say about these matters, but to scientific experts representing a full range of divergent opinion in these vital, really, rate-impacting, policy-impacting questions.
Kootman wrote he imagined the forum as a two-day event with witness testimony submitted beforehand, opportunities for cross-examination, and a final report to be sent to public service commissioners nationwide. The proposal failed 3-2 with Commissioners Brad Johnson, Bob Lake, and Randy Panucci against. Lake said he opposed the motion because he's concerned about the appearance of bias as the PSC is a regulatory agency. Kootman in the past has written op-eds casting doubt on man-made climate change, and in 2019, a solar energy development successfully sued the PSC for bias against renewable energy. Kootman is terming out as commissioner. An independent community member and a member of the environmental advocacy organization Northern Plains gave public comment in support of holding the forum. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. The State Health Department yesterday updated how it reports new cases of the novel coronavirus to the public. It hasn't updated numbers as of this morning yet, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but we have a slew of updates first. Yesterday, Governor Steve Bullock expanded statewide stay-at-home orders for another 2 weeks. Those now last through April 24th, although it's possible he'll extend them again.
Bullock's two-week extension to social distancing orders includes closures to public schools and non-essential businesses. It also includes limits on non-essential travel and requirements for people coming into Montana to self-quarantine for 14 days. Bullock spoke at a press conference yesterday.
Well, this time we may not be able to pinpoint exactly how long this pandemic will last or when Montana will face its peak. There are several things that we do know. We do know that staying at home will help flatten the curve. For every person who stays at home, the better our chances to fight this virus and protect our healthcare workers.
Another headline from yesterday, the Montana Department of Justice confirmed what is believed to be the first positive COVID-19 test of a jail inmate. Attorney General Tim Fox said an inmate at the Gallatin County Detention Center had tested positive on Saturday. This comes as disability rights groups are alleging a lack of safety for inmates amid the pandemic. That's a case they're making to the Supreme Court.
Nikki, yesterday we talked about an update on a forecast from the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington Medicine. The forecast shows potential peak date of COVID-19 in Montana sometime next week, and how many deaths could happen here because of the virus. That same forecast came with some significant caveats, and state officials say they're not relying on it or any model to predict where the state may end up.
Right. Governor Bullock had this to say about forecasting for Montana's path during COVID-19.
We do look at that model. We are actually looking at other modeling as well, trying to get as much information as possible, recognizing that models are just that. And probably the greatest thing to impact a model isn't going to be a statistician, it's going to be what each and every one of us do in our homes, in our communities, to try to ensure that transmission is not occurring.
There's other modeling out there that says Montana won't reach its peak until June. Montana health officials say they're looking at a range of different models, and we're not really hearing anything from public health officials in this state about when we might see a peak.
During that same press conference yesterday afternoon, Governor Bullock asked Montanans to follow federal guidance recommending people cover their face. It could be with a homemade cloth mask. Buffs work as well. And the recommendation is from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and is for when people might be in a public situation where it might be difficult to social distance.
Yeah, like when you're at the grocery store.
Right. And the request also comes with the ask for Montanans to not use medical-grade N95 respiratory or surgical masks and to save those for medical professionals.
So this guidance comes from the CDC, but the World Health Organization says if you're healthy, you only really need to wear a mask if you're taking care of someone who's a suspected COVID patient. So there's not really international agreement about when it's useful or not to be wearing a mask. But everyone agrees that masks are not a substitute for social distancing, keeping 6 feet apart from other people and frequent hand washing, not touching your face. Masks won't really do anything if you're not doing those things to begin with.
Another step taken yesterday toward trying to limit the spread of the virus in Montana, first responders will now have to be given a heads up if they're going to be going out to help someone who has tested positive for the virus. Governor Bullock said yesterday that there is already a system in place for telling firefighters, police, other first responders after the fact if they've come in contact with someone who's tested positive. But in a new order yesterday, Bullock said there's going to be a new system for giving first responders a heads up ahead of time.
This press conference was pretty dense with a lot of info, and I've got one more announcement. Remember that big fight over infrastructure during the past legislative session?
Seems like a long time ago, but yeah.
It sure does. So that was the first time in a long time that lawmakers and the governor agreed on a big bonding package. This means the state is going to go into debt to pay for some infrastructure work that lawmakers approved. Bullock says the state sold the bonds yesterday that will allow the projects to go forward.
The sale of bonds was worth $33 million, and Bullock says there's going to need to be several rounds of these bond sales in order to pay for that work.
As you mentioned up top, yesterday the state health department changed the map that it's been using to communicate new COVID cases. And between that update and the press conference that we were talking about, we've got a lot more info about who has the illness in Montana.
The state's top medical officer says about 95% of the state's more than 300 cases are found in people who are white, 3.5% found in Native American, and 0.5% found in African American, Asian, and other, respectively.
3.5% Native American, is that associated with reservations?
So the health department says there's no cases associated directly with tribal reservations, and Bullock said the state doesn't have specific numbers on how many people have been tested on the reservations.
A little data gap there. Are there updates about where the virus is spreading person to person?
Community spread is the term for that when it's being passed around within a community or town, and local health departments determine that at the local level. And health officials in Gallatin County, Yellowstone, Lewis and Clark, Missoula, and Flathead counties, they all say there is community spread there, and there appeared to be some lag time between when those counties said there was community spread and when that was posted up on the state website.
What else do the state data show us?
So we know 28 people have been hospitalized. That represents about 9% of the state's total cases, and that's either have been or are hospitalized. 6 people in Montana have died as a result of complications from the novel coronavirus, and far more people are going to recover from this than have significant impacts, and 57 people have recovered in Montana.
What about new cases reported?
In the past 2 weeks, the state has announced anywhere from 3 to 35 new cases a day.
Are any trends emerging in that sense?
Nothing clear at this point. Also, we should note here that there is some time between when it takes for when samples are, I guess, collected from a patient and when they come back, sometimes from the state lab, sometimes from a private lab, and that can really vary from 24 hours to 10 days. So the data we're looking at isn't always on the same scale. And health officials say, you know, it is likely there are people out there with the virus that haven't been tested.
As of a little after noon yesterday, there were 319 cases, but we expect that number will go up between 9 and 10 this morning when the state lab starts reporting updates. So we'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks, Corin.
Thanks, Nikki.
Governor Steve Bullock is extending Montana's stay-at-home order for at least another 2 weeks until April 24th. Bullock announced the move to continue the state's largest social distancing orders in a press conference yesterday afternoon.
We can and we must keep efforts up to flattening the curve.
Public health officials warn that without physical social distancing, the case numbers of the novel coronavirus will rise and make it difficult for hospitals and clinics to take care of patients. The governor's two-week extension closes public schools and non-essential businesses, limits non-essential travel, and requires a two-week self-quarantine for people coming into Montana. Bars and restaurants can remain open for pickup and delivery only. State health officials say there is not widespread transmission of the COVID-19 illness in Montana, but the virus is spreading within communities in several counties. As of Monday, there are 319 confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus in Montana. 6 people have died from the illness, 57 people have recovered. Over 90% of travel-related businesses in Montana have been impacted by COVID-19 through cancellations and a sharp decline in bookings, according to a bi-weekly survey by the University of Montana. Rachel Kramer reports.
Twice as many businesses responding to the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research's second survey at the end of March reported cancellations compared to 2 weeks prior. The most recent survey, published Friday, found over 60% of the businesses reported zero bookings made for April and May. Around half still had bookings for June, and around 80% said they still had bookings for July and beyond. Spring is usually a busy time for reservations and requests for more information, but the surveys show a sharp decline. One survey respondent said, quote, basically, by the end of March, the phones just stopped ringing. ITRR is tracking the effects of the global pandemic on tourism in the state through surveys sent out every 2 weeks to hotels, guides and outfitters, gift shops, and other tourism-related businesses. The second survey was conducted after Governor Steve Bullock issued a stay-at-home directive, but before Bullock mandated travelers coming into the state to self-quarantine for 14 days. Over half of the survey's 900 participants said they have reduced their workforce and some part of their business. The two surveys also showed people are increasingly concerned about their health, their communities, and the economy. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Governor Steve Bullock extended school closures yesterday for at least another 2 weeks to continue social distancing amid the novel coronavirus pandemic. But as Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, some districts want the governor to close school doors for the remainder of the academic year.
K-12 public school buildings will remain closed until at least April 24th. Bullock initially ordered schools to close in mid-March and asked districts to make plans for distance learning and meal deliveries. Bullock has been extending the closures every 2 weeks since. The governor has said he doesn't think it's in the state's best interest to make decisions that will have finality for what Montana will look like months from now. But some districts say it would be easier to close school doors for the remainder of the year so they can make more concrete plans and know where they should be putting their resources. Steve Bradshaw is the superintendent of Columbia Falls School District.
Makes it easier to plan for the teachers, also makes it more acceptable to the parents, helps us be able to try to connect with some of the students that we possibly have not been able to connect with for whatever reason.
Kirk Miller with School Administrators of Montana says many districts have said it's hard to deal with the uncertainty of school closures on a biweekly basis, but says there's no formal push from districts to close the rest of the year. He adds that he understands the position the governor is in.
All of that said, we've been advising that we probably need to do that planning mechanism for school closure through the end of the year.
Governor Bullock did provide districts with some long-term certainty Tuesday by giving them more time to comply with a 2019 student data privacy law as they move to online learning. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
An inmate at the Gallatin County Detention Center in Bozeman tested positive for COVID-19 Saturday. Rachel Kramer reports he has been released in coordination with the local health department.
In a court filing Tuesday in response to a lawsuit alleging a lack of safety for inmates amid the pandemic, Attorney General Fox said the Gallatin County Detention Center had its first confirmed COVID-19 case. Gallatin County Sheriff Brian Gutkin says the person did not show symptoms of the illness caused by the novel coronavirus when he was brought in, and that detention staff were notified later that day that he had been exposed to the virus.
The detention center is clean, it's sanitized, it's safe. Our inmates are healthy and safe, but you can have all the precautions in the world just like you can out in the public, and there's still a chance for it to happen.
Gutkin says the detainee was transferred to one of two cells with its own ventilation system, and officers followed Gallatin County Public Health's protocols for personal protective equipment. He says results for the detainee's COVID-19 test came back positive Saturday. Gutkin declined to answer questions about when the person arrived at the detention center or when he was released. He says currently the detention center has around 100 inmates and 45 detention officers. Recent court filings show the Gallatin County Detention Center reduced its jail population nearly one-third. ACLU of Montana brought the lawsuit on behalf of disability rights groups. They argue the state isn't doing enough to mitigate mortal harm to incarcerated people during the pandemic. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock extended the state's stay-at-home directive until April 24th, but that's no easy ask for people with nowhere to isolate. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports on what the pandemic means for people experiencing homelessness in Montana.
I'm across the street from the Pavarello Center in Missoula, and about a dozen people are outside sitting, pacing, it looks like waiting to be let in for dinner. The PAV is the largest homeless shelter in Montana, and Amy Allison Thompson is their executive director. I spoke with her over Zoom from her basement.
Everyone's told to, you know, self-quarantine, stay in your homes. Well, if you don't have a home, then that's a really terrifying request.
Allison Thompson says the adrenaline of the first few weeks of the pandemic has faded, and now what she's mostly feeling is exhaustion. She says her job means sleepless nights, rethinking every aspect of operations, and tackling problems with no easy answers.
We're getting a sneeze guard installed at the front desk, which I never would want because I don't want our guests to feel like we need a barrier between ourselves and them.
She's crawled all over the building wielding a tape measure, finding out how many people can sleep here if they're 6 feet apart, how many people can eat at one time? Those answers entail small surrenders. If they do institute 6-foot spacing for beds, for example, that would take nightly capacity down from 150 to about 100 people this time of year. As shelters and public health officials across the state rush to adapt to the pandemic, Allison Thompson's experience is representative of the relentless scramble and improvisation required to keep this population safe.
We don't have enough time. You know, it feels like this hurry up, hurry up, hurry up kind of place to be in. And I don't know, it's really hard right now.
According to a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development survey, nearly 1,400 people in Montana were experiencing homelessness one night in January of last year. The majority of those individuals were concentrated in Missoula, Billings, and Kalispell. However, those numbers shift a lot over the course of a year as people find and lose housing. And that population is uniquely vulnerable to the pandemic. They're disproportionately older and prone to pre-existing chronic health conditions. With no place else to go, they also exist mostly in communal gatherings at shelters or camps.
The more people who have this, the faster it spreads.
Cindy Farr is incident commander for Missoula County's COVID-19 response. Farr says the county has worked with the Pavarello Center and a local health organization to institute a screening procedure for everyone who steps through the door. If someone shows symptoms and needs a test, they're sent to a local hotel that has volunteered rooms for quarantine.
But at some point, we're going to outgrow that capacity.
In interviews with shelters and service providers across Montana, finding isolation quarters for suspected or confirmed cases of coronavirus stood out as the largest, most persistent problem. Chris Krager, executive director of Samaritan House in Kalispell, says he only has a couple units available for quarantine, and dealing with the spread of coronavirus in the shelter would be a nightmare scenario.
It would be so difficult. Boy, howdy, that'd be tough.
Samaritan House serves about 65 people a night, and the Warming House, another local shelter that serves about 20 people a night, closed its doors in March due to lack of capacity. The Human Resource Development Council also closed its shelters in both Bozeman and Livingston in mid-March due to a lack of space for adequate social distancing. Combined, those shelters house about 60 people nightly. Heather Grinier, their president and CEO, says she has secured a few hotel rooms for potential quarantine.
I have spent almost every hour of every day working on alternative solutions.
Grinier and other service providers across the state say the double stigma of homelessness and COVID-19 makes finding space willing to open its doors a particularly thorny proposition. Businesses just aren't willing to shoulder the risk. Yellowstone County is taking a different approach. In Billings, the Metropark Pavilion Center will offer 30 to 50 spaces for area people awaiting test results or in need of isolation starting on Wednesday, April 8th. Shelters across the state are also revamping hygiene and cleanliness protocols to follow CDC guidelines, and many are reporting fewer, not more, clients. Dave Miller is director of God's Love in Helena.
Pre-virus, we had 70, 80 people in here. After the virus, our numbers got cut in half.
Miller says people experiencing homelessness are taking isolation seriously and seeking shelter on their own. But he also says people are staying at Samaritan House for longer periods of time since housing and jobs are few and far between during the pandemic. Officials also expressed uncertainty and anxiety over meeting needs down the road as the pandemic causes people to lose jobs and the economy to continue its downward spiral. Jesse Jaeger is director for development and advocacy at Missoula's Pavarello Center.
Those of us that live in a more middle class, middle income kind of world can forget that for other people in our own communities, life is kind of fragile.
Bob Buzzis, director of the Montana Continuum of Care Coalition, an organization dedicated to addressing homelessness across the state, says there are bright spots. Across Montana, communities have stepped up with donations, mask making, and other forms of support.
It's local initiative. People are rising up to address their own needs in different ways.
I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.